land of the free, the home of the brave. We are a blessed nation because God is our Lord. But you got to understand that in the Hebrew. God is our Lord, meaning He is the one in control with all power and all authority. God, Elohim, Jehovah, the one who has all control, all power, and authority. You gotta understand what the Lord stands for there. And Elohim, God. I just want to make you aware of that. God is sovereign over all. Over all, including the United States of America. The Holman Bible Dictionary defines sovereignty as the teaching that all things come from and depend on God. I went a little further. And the Easton Bible Dictionary defines God's sovereignty as His absolute right to do all things according to His good pleasure. Now, the very last line of the Declaration of Independence reads, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." But that "we" here includes all Americans when they signed this. The men representing at that time, "we the people," were putting their total confidence, all of their trust and faith, it says, as a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence. They had put their faith in God. Their lives were on the line. Yeah, they would be hunted down. But see, they knew He's a just God. For those who have been unfairly oppressed. Divine providence is the governance of God by which He, with wisdom and love, cares for and directs all things in the universe. The doctrine of divine providence asserts that God is in complete control of all things. So He is sovereign. Sovereign over the whole universe, my brother. As a whole. Physically. I'm talking about the world. And all the nations, by the way. And the affairs of those nations. Psalm 66, verse 7. Psalm 66, verse 7. "For by His great power, He rules forever. He watches every movement of the nations. Let no rebel rise in defiance within that nation." He is sovereign over humanity, over the destiny and of the human success or failure. That's right. Luke chapter 1, verse 52. New Life Version here. "He has taken rulers down from their thrones. He has put those who are in a place that is not important to a place that is important. His sovereignty includes the protection of his people. Isaiah 54:17. Now, I know that we can, you're all familiar with it, okay? That in the New King James, okay, and we need to go there. Yeah, I didn't have this one written down. I go by the way I'm instructed here. And it says here, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is for me. Okay? Now, this is the New Living Testament. But in that coming day, no weapon turned against you will succeed. You, will silence every voice raised up to accuse you. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken. Does that make that a little different? You, see, have the power. You will silence those voices of accusations against you. Man, do we get a lot of them, don't we? Well, you have it. That's because you are servants of the Lord. You can take them down and repute them. But you figure the men who put their lives on the line when they signed that Declaration of Independence, representing we the people, because the people were also going to feel what the British were going to do. But then you have Isaiah 40, verse 28 through 31. Isaiah 40. Verse 28 through 31. Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can understand the measures of the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. The signers of the Declaration of Independence put their hope of a confident expectation of success in attaining their freedom because they trusted in God. And when they did, you know, they found peace. They found peace. And how did they do that? Through the Word. These men, a lot of them were good Bible Word men. Some were, knew the Word, but weren't all the way, what'd you say, obedient to the Word. Yeah. But yet they knew the Word. They knew enough to respect the Word. And that's why they used the Word to form the foundations of this nation that we have. Psalm 4, verse 8. The Amplified Classic Edition. Yeah, I got you one in there, my brother. This is how these men felt. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you, Lord. That's the Lord. That is the one in total control, with all power and all authority. Alone make me dwell in safety and confident trust. What they undertook had to be God. Had to be God. And they were putting a firm trust in Him. Even those who maybe weren't believers were trusting God. When they signed their name on the bottom of that paper, they were trusting God. These men knew the Word of God, and they believed the Word was true. Divine providence took our freedoms into account, and in His infinite wisdom set a course to fulfill His will for our nation, the land of the free and the home of the brave. See, God's not done with America. There is so much more that needs to be accomplished. And we got to do it under His guidance and under His leadership. So don't be moved by what you see or what you hear. Be assured, America shall be saved. How do you say that, Charles, with authority? Real loud. All you had to do was say, America will be saved. That's what we need to all say that right now. Say that. America will be saved. Amen. Saved from what? Saved from all the wickedness and evil in our government. At all levels. And all out through this land. Wokeism. Transgenderism. Marxism, socialism, and now the LGBTQ, and I learned to spell it because I wanted to know how to attack it, the LGBTQ. And they have revealed themselves. They have revealed themselves to us as Satanists. They have taken right before us and held up their banner, held up the rainbow colors. And we're going to take their rainbow back. That's God's, not theirs. But they marched it very proudly down the streets. And you know what name they had on that banner? Satan. They revealed who they were. That's who's leading them. Yeah, they're exposed now. How many of you have seen that? How many of you have seen that? How much has the news media carried that? They're not carrying that. And what did they do the whole time they were singing? We're coming for your kids. We're coming for your kids. That's him talking. Satan's coming for our kids. And you know what we say? No! Hands off, Satan! You have no authority to touch our children. None! And we got to do that. We got to attack it with authority. Ted, you can't keep up with that buttons. I know. I've been there, brother. Our nation has a covenant with Almighty God. It's Psalm 33, verse 12. And you heard this quoted many times yesterday. It says, blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is the nation whose God is the Lord. Elohim. Okay. Lord. Okay. You're getting this now? When we put the scriptures together and look at it through the Hebrew, it's like, oh, and now I'm understanding that He is all powerful. He's the one with all the authority. He is the one who's in control. We think it's totally out of control. No, it's under His control. He's exposing everything that needs to be exposed. Now, this is what I believe. And then, watch what happens. But see, we have to get behind it. We are His church. We are the ecclesia. We're His arms and legs. We're His voice. You understand? We can't be quiet. But it goes on to say, the people whom He has chosen as His inheritance. See, that's us. That's us. He's chosen us as His own inheritance. You and me and this nation. I'm talking to patriots here. People who I never served. But I grew up to respect that flag. As a teenager, I'll never forget. I actually love this. Because my Uncle Mike was, he spent 20 years in the Air Force. But I had a flak jacket my brother had sent me home from the military. And I sewed a flag on the back of it. And he came in and he was in town. And we were all together. I walked in there. He about ripped that jacket off my body. And he taught me one thing about that, how you do that. He said that he did not like that. Was just to him, that was dishonoring the flag, big time. And all my brothers, my dad's brothers, they served. They served during the wars. And they taught me to respect it. And then we actually had schools that taught the true history of this nation and what it cost for us to get it. And that's why the men, you that served in the military, you know, I just say thank you. I can't thank you enough because of what you've done and what you made sure that we did not lose was our freedoms. And the church needs to be there, to be behind the veterans, to actually enforce what they fought for and what they took an oath to. I don't take that as no light thing. That's even when I see that, I was watching that, the tears were coming to me because it was touching my heart to know what in the land that we have. All the fighting, all the blood that was shed so that we could have the freedoms we have. But get back on track. See, we have a covenant. Because now on April 29th, 1607, a nation was born. The 144 weary colonists and seamen who set sail from England walked on the shores of Cape Cod. Or Cape Henry, Virginia. I'll get to Cape Cod. Cape Henry, Virginia. Got to go to this one first. This is the first place. Okay. Here was laid the foundation for what would become the most powerful country in the world. And it still is. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. That America is inferior to them. We have people who are in government positions that are trying to weaken our military. You can't do it because of the hearts of the men that are serving there who took an oath. And we have the technology that others don't have. Why do you think they're still sending balloons around to see what we have in this country to look at? Why do you think they've tried to infiltrate? Yeah. Some of them sleeping with government officials. Spies. It happens. The movies and things we used to watch, they're real. This stuff is real out there. But I'm telling you, America is far ahead of them. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Okay, the dramatic story that was about to be the United States unfolded that day at Cape Henry. And it sparked the legacy of godliness on American soils. On the shore that very day, a cross was erected, and Reverend Robert Hunt offered the following prayer. We do hereby dedicate this land and ourselves to reach the people within these shores with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to rise up godly generations after us. And with these generations, take the kingdom of God to all the earth. May this, here it is, covenant of dedication remain to all generations as long as the earth remains. And may this land, along with England, be evangelists to the world. May all who see this cross remember what we have done here. And may they who come here to inhabit join us in this covenant and in this most noble work that the Holy Spirit may be fulfilled. Reverend Hunt declared from these very shores, the gospel shall go forth not only in the new world, but the entire world, from the top to the bottom and all the way around, to every corner. Every corner, Tim. Following that prayer, he read Psalm 22, verses 27 and 28. May those in faraway countries remember the Lord and come back to Him. May those in distant lands worship Him, because the Lord is the King. He rules all nations. Yeah. He rules all nations. Yeah. America's destiny and purpose was sealed with that cross that day at Cape Henry. All that would follow in our nation's growth hinged on a single proclamation that this land belonged to Jesus Christ. 416 years ago, Tim. They put that cross up. Remember, God is a covenant-keeping God. Covenants made with Him. Do you understand? Covenants are one of the most important themes in the Word. They are the key to God's redemptive plan to restore humanity to its divine calling. Starting in Genesis, God enters into formal partnership, which is covenant. And after another and another with various humans in order to rescue His world. His world. Covenants are important to God. When two people, a man and a woman, get married, they enter into a covenant of marriage before God. Together, they enter into a personal covenant as a couple with God. See, you, if you understand covenant and you understand how they walked through the blood of the animals and they made a figure eight through it and back through, and God makes that same one as He did, and He does that through Jesus Christ. So we have entered into a covenant. When you understand covenant, and you understand the blood, okay? And the blood that we walk through in the covenants are made through Jesus Christ, through His shed blood. Are you getting it? It touches your heart. When, may I say, God does not like it when covenants are broken. Now, that cross is not there anymore. But a granite cross replaced the original wooden cross on April 26, 1936. 1936. Hitler was starting to make waves, wasn't he? This was done by the work, by the way, of the National Society of the Daughters of the American Colonists. The National Society of Daughters of the American Colonists, the DAC, was established in 1921. And it is an organization open to women of at least 18 years old who can prove biological lineage to persons living in the United States prior to 1776 and who served in any of the 26 acceptable categories. And I ain't listing all them for you. The DAC's objectives are to record, maintain, and teach patriotism, including researching and publishing the history of American colonists, commemorating colonial events, and fostering strong patriotic and civic feelings for the United States. Wow. Bet you didn't know that. Yeah. Can you imagine they've traced their lineage all the way back? Whew. You know, I know on my, we didn't do my dad's side, but my mom's side, goes back to 1620. That's where they took, you know, that's how far they tracked it back to. And came from Zurich, Switzerland. And they down, when they came to this country, they became Rinkers. But over there, they were Ringers. I don't know. But it's a whole story, and, you know, all the work that was put into it. But it's pretty cool. So I came from Zurich, Switzerland. Wow. Okay. In the Mayflower Compact of 1620, the Pilgrims reaffirmed the mission set forth by the original Virginia settlers on board ship before they even stepped on land at Cape Cod, Massachusetts. So you understand, they were supposed to go to Cape Henry, and they got blown off course, and they ended up going into Cape Cod. And so they were out of the jurisdiction of the agreements that they had made, so they had to make their own set of governing laws. Okay, it's a whole nother story. There's so much in our history that a lot of us, we have just been taught the surface of it.
Right.
We dig into the real roots of this nation, and it will just it just amazes you what they were coming here for. See, all of us were taught that the Pilgrims came to America for freedom of worship or freedom of religion. But see, that's not true, says Dr. Peter Marshall. He is an author and a historian. They said they came to America to propagate the gospel among the Indians and to become themselves stepping stones for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the outermost parts of the earth. They were carrying out the commandment of Jesus in Matthew 28:19-20, where he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." Amen. So what were they? They were missionaries. They were missionaries. The Puritans, they carried the Cape Henry legacy further. On the deck of the Arbella, halfway between England and Cape Cod, their leader, John Winthrop, declared, "We shall be as a city upon a hill." Because Matthew 5:14, Jesus said, "You are the light that shines for the world to see. You are like a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden." Winthrop goes on to say, "The eyes of all people are upon us, so that if we shall deal falsely with our God in this work, we have undertaken and so cause him to withdraw his presence help from us. We shall be made a story and a byword throughout the world." But he goes on to say, Winthrop's phrase was very revealing. When you bring up Winthrop's phrase, "the city on a hill," that's the heart and the core of what America has been about since day one. Point being, here, that the basis of America's life was to be committed Christians who were to so let their light shine to one another and then to the whole world, that the world could see them as an example. This nation is supposed to be an example. We are supposed to be an example. How many churches have fallen from that? How far have we gone from being a nation with morals for the world to see? People don't even want us in their country. People from here are going over trying to teach them about abortion. They don't have abortion around the world, but we have it here. They don't want people coming over and teaching them critical race theory. Get out. They kick them out. They don't want them. Where have we gone? Where have our morals decayed that far? Think about that. We got to bring correction to that. I'm talking to the church and each and every one of us. Yeah. God calls us to do that. Because he said to us, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." But now more than 100 years later, as America set off on her own course towards independence, the godly foundations laid in Virginia established the character of our revolution. And it's time for a revolution now. "My judgment approves this measure, and my whole heart is in it." These are words from John Adams. "And I leave off as I began, that life that live or die, survive or perish, I am for the Declaration. It is my living sentiment, and by the blessing of God, it shall be my dying sentiment. Independence now, independence forever." George Washington's pure Christian heart and his prayer life with God gave him the guidance through Holy Spirit to make the decisions which led to his victories and ultimately the victory of the Revolutionary War. Benjamin Franklin, called through prayer, and John Adams' reverence for the will of God symbolize the undying commitment of our founding fathers to the creation of a nation which would be under God's rule and under his sovereignty, right? He was divine providence. The American character was born in Scripture, God's Word, and nurtured by Holy Spirit. Yet today, our nation's heritage is under siege, and it is under siege big time. In fact, they don't even want to teach it. They do not teach it in schools. You talk to some of these young people, and they have no idea. They have no idea. It is. And who let it happen? We did. We didn't go to the schools and get involved. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Years ago, that was one of the things. I did not want to run for school board. I said, I don't want to do this. I was encouraged for it. But no, I got on to, they put me on and asked me if I would be in a curriculum. We would review curriculum. Parents together reviewing curriculums. And I'll tell you what, some of the things that they put forth, and we were looking at it, nah, we don't want that. I mean, so back then, we were scrutinizing it, but I didn't know, you know, I was just doing it because they can't teach you stuff. It didn't fit in. I said, that's not what I learned. And we'd go back to the other stuff, and they'd say, well, this is the new curriculum. We don't want, why are you adding this stuff to it? That's not true. So we had a voice till they finally did away with this. Then there was nobody else. There was no more people getting together. No more parents asked to look at curriculum. Wonder why. I didn't know back then. Now I'm sitting there saying, man. Because nobody wanted to get involved. I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want on that school board. And I mean, I had school board members that said, you know, this is the time. We need you. I was sitting there and I wasn't even a Christian then. I was just stepping into that, you know. It was a couple of years after that when I got. But I said, man, but I look now, and man, if I'd have been there, man, could I have made a difference? I believe I could have, especially when you get filled and get filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So we need to elect. I said all that maybe to say we need to make sure that we elect school board members who are godly. Godly men and women. We need them in there. That's where we got to get, because he's coming for our kids. He's coming for our kids. Y'all understand where they're coming from. There are many names for what we are currently finding ourselves in. Wokeness, political correctness, and cancel culture. And that's just a few of them. But these only encapsulate, that's a good word for that, a portion of the phenomenon. So we have cultural Marxism, neo-Marxism. We have social justice, we have identity politics, and critical theory. And that puts them on a broader description, if you understand what I'm saying here. The term that adequately captures the religiosity of the movement we find ourselves in is wokeism. Wokeism. Wokeism is a religion, and its core is pure evil. So we have seen how this has taken many corporations in America and around the world captive. But see, we can get them back on track. Don't shop there. Don't shop there. Well, I don't know. Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. You look what's happening with Target. Man, that lost billions. Look what's happening with Disney. They lost billions. See, we can. I think I remember saying, but there's so many others right now that when the people quit going there, they made corrections. Not totally, because see, they're controlled for their, because they need money to operate too. And have you ever heard of BlackRock? Well, they're the ones that control that money. And they tell them, if you don't do this, we're not going to give you that money to adequately, you can go back and forth with. So they've got a hold of them. But see, some of them are saying, no. We got to pray for more. We got to pray that there's more. And like I say, God has brought the exposure to BlackRock. Start looking at where your investments are at. Start looking where they're at. Mm-hmm. Now you know how they get the money to operate. It's our money. You got to know where your investments are. Hey, I think I'm preaching pretty good here. Jesus. These ideologies, though, have been growing for decades and are now being revealed to us, saying it's time for much fervent prayer and action. We all really need to understand that wokeism is here. And you got to understand what wokeism is all about. And then you will see how it calls evil good and good evil. In Proverbs 17, verse 15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike, an abomination to the Lord. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21. Here's what God has to say. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. I say, God gives us two woes to them. You know what I got to say? Look out. Bishop James Madison warned of such a risk in 1796. And I quote, "The moment that religion, the pure and undefiled religion, loses its influence over our hearts, from that fatal moment, farewell to public and private happiness. Farewell, a long farewell, to virtue, to patriotism, to liberty." Whew. Nobody was listening. Maybe they listened for a while, but then they forgot. Because they didn't do what God said. Teach this to your generations. Not just teaching the word, but teaching them when that's what we were warned for. So as parents, did we teach these things? Did we really instill that to them, what it means? So we got to look at ourselves, first of all. Then we got to look at the church and see what we've done together. And it's frightening for what we haven't done. Years have passed since America was first conceived at Cape Henry. And respect for our roots is growing cold. Yet one undeniable fact still remains. At its core, at its very soul, the United States of America is a Christian nation, a established on Christian principles, the Word of God. Are you ready, Ted? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We live in a blessed nation because of the Lord. God bless America. Yes, we have been blessed as a nation.